Yachum, chitum, 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 ta la 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 la. Stable love and hum, it can have such ta. Ritum, chitum, 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 ta la 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 la. Stable love and hum, it can have such ta. Broken cat, dee, oh, dee, oh, oh, dee, 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 oh, 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 some tricky, tricky tree, tricky ta la 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 la. Stable rum and hum, it can have such ta. Tricky, tricky tree, tricky ta la 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 la. Stable rum and hum, it can have such ta. Frog and patty, oh diddle, oh, oh diddle, oh, oh diddle, oh, oh. Frog and patty, oh diddle, oh, oh diddle, oh, lay.
What'd you say? I'm fine.
Yeah, he said he's so hot, smoking hot.
Fine.
He's wearing his banana hammock and he's all ready to record.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Too sexy for your podcast.
That's right.
I got my regular uniform on and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Did you say you're wearing a unicorn? I don't know what I walked into.
I don't know either. How are you guys doing?
Okay, how are you guys?
I'm good.
You have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Someone's opened a beer.
Was that you, Chris?
No, I think Mike's a drunk.
No, I don't drink.
I didn't think Mike liked beer.
Yeah, only in the morning.
Oh.
In my cereal. Oh. Only in my cereal.
Only in his cereal.
I just heard him crack open a cold one.
Beer Cheerios.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Beerios.
Chris, I didn't get a chance to go out for 25-cent comic books yesterday.
Okay.
If I have any time today, I'm going to go. I don't know how long they're going to do that for, though.
I think it just started yesterday. I think it's for the whole month.
Oh, okay.
That they're 25 cents instead of 50 cents.
Did you go?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I found out yesterday. I went expecting 50-cent comics, and I found 25-cent comics.
And what did you get?
I'll try to think. I did get a bunch of Marvel Team-Up and Marvel... Whoa, 2-in-1.
2-in-1.
Oh, that's nice.
Are they in good shape, or are they, like, beat up?
They're probably, I'm not real big on comic grading off the top of my head, but maybe fine.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's what I would say too. You know,
like they're
a lot
little
of them
beat
are,
up, but
yeah, most of them are pretty much fine to very fine, I'd say, depending on how popular the series was.
Yeah. They're from, like, the middle of the runs in both cases. Those are probably the more notable things that I found.
Yeah.
Because you tend to see a lot of 80s and 90s stuff, so any time something from the 70s, any Bronze Age stuff pops up, it gets my attention.
Yeah.
Because cheap bins tend to be a full lot of 80s and 90s stuff. Give me the football! Mabel's trying to play football. She's got a little Nerf dog red football.
Aww.
That's one of the noisy toys, huh? When you hear me talking, you say,
so what
I
you needed to do is not say what was in that purchase that you did, and then get some plastic and seal it, and then sell it to Rob. And say, here's a mystery bag.
Exactly.
That would not be nice.
just because he couldn't put the logo on the top? Is that what it is?
I think so.
I'll get a professional up. I mean, I'll print out some stickers on my label on my inkjet printer.
Yeah.
I'll do a professional job.
And you'll be like,
of repackaging
I went to this store. Now I'm not going to tell you where it was.
But see, that seems like an era that I would be interested in. The Target books are all over the place, man. They'll have like a Deathmate. They'll have a New 52. They'll have something from Marvel Zombies. It's crazy.
Yeah. That was pretty good. I wanted to thank you again, Mike. That was really nice.
No, I haven't sent them yet, so don't thank me yet. I'll put it together today, I think. I got my Valiant coupons.
Oh, yeah.
I did all mine, sent. So I did that yesterday, and then today I'm going to prepare that package after I clean out the table here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did battle all weekend, man. Whole weekend of sorting and bagging, and finally going to give Barb her table back for at least 5 days.
Oh, my God. She's not going to know what to do with it.
Yeah.
It's just going to have knitting stuff all over it.
Yeah.
So you're... That's funny, man. She drove me out of that corner. Like, she like said, I am tired of these boxes by this sofa. And that was like a cool area to have it because that was like my reading area. So I would just I would just walk like a foot and then I just pull up stuff out of the drawer boxes. I wouldn't have to go up and down a flight of stairs. But, now it's all yarn and stuff. So she
drove
me out. Yeah, because enough is enough. Nice. Enough is enough.
She has to put her foot down eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's had as much as she can take, huh?
Yeah. It was the Rat song. Oh no, that's the Twisted Sister. We're not gonna take it.
Barb's not gonna take it.
Yeah, Twisted Sister.
I bought an iPad yesterday.
Ah, so you're going digital. You're saying fuck it.
I am absolutely not. However, any of the ones that I have on digital, I appreciate that I can see it a little bit better. The main reason why I decided to switch is I've had the Kindle Fires.
Yeah.
And there's so many of the streaming, not the main streaming services, but a lot of the other streaming services, whether it's Vudu or even Flexster and stuff, they're not even available anymore on Kindle Fire.
Really?
It's really crazy.
So, is it Kindle Fire Android based or?
It's Android based, but it's modified to such a degree for Amazon that you can't just use regular Android apps.
Okay, so
they have to be specially made for the Kindle.
They are available on the Android app then.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I bought a one of those stupid Windows, what do you call it?
Tablets,
yeah. Uh-huh. And it has no apps, almost like nothing.
Yeah. I finally broke down because I love my Amazon products and stuff, but I'm like, I just can't. Like, we're loading, like when we buy a movie and we load the digital version.
Yeah.
And unless they have a specific, and some of them do, like usually the Disney ones have an option to load straight to Amazon Video. Mm-hmm. A lot of the other ones don't, and so they give you the option of either Flixster, sometimes Vudu, and then obviously always iTunes. And I'm like, I can't take advantage of these. So what I did is I went upstairs and I went through all the old, my Funko DC Pops.
Uh-huh.
And any of the ones that are retired, I put up on eBay, and I've sold a couple of them so far, and that's how I'm going to finance my iPad.
You're selling your toys to pay for your iPad.
I am.
That's what I'm thinking of doing, my friend, because I am running out of space.
Well, I'm like,
dang that. There's certain toys I'm just not going to.
Well, and that's the thing. Don't sell the ones that you really want, but my thing is, what am I doing with them? They're sitting in a closet. They're never going to. I don't think they're ever going to go up like hugely more in value than what they are today.
Well, what did you sell them for? Were they
I'm only selling the ones
at cost. Retired.
Yeah. So far I've sold. What did I sell? I sold Hawkman, and I sold Green Arrow. And I don't know if it's because Green Arrow has a TV show or what, but I got $300 for Green Arrow.
What?
Holy cow.
Now, I still have all the boxes. So
no, wait. Was it the Green Arrow with the beard, or was it the...
Yeah.
the TV Green Arrow.
No, it's the DC Universe Green Arrow with the beard. The comic
wow.
book.
Wow. See, that's why I don't want to get rid of stuff. I'm such a hoarder. It's like,
but
you don't
Mike,
know
I don't think they're going to go up even higher. Like, I think in 5 years they'll all crash, like Beanie Babies did back in whenever that was. The
yeah.
night.
I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I don't think Funko are gonna. I don't think Pops are gonna. It might not be soon, but I don't know.
They're a fad.
Yeah,
I think they're getting towards the saturation point. Because
back
then it was more like, oh man, they're releasing this, this, and this. Now it's like they release 12, 24 all at once, and then all these different figures. So it makes it harder for the collector to get everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
And then they have the collector's boxes, so that
just focused on the DC ones at the time, like from the very start. Mm-hmm. I saw them in Target for the first time ever whenever they were out. I started buying them, but it's that second wave, which I don't know if you guys know
it's
anything
rare.
About Gotham, but yeah, mm-hmm. the second wave was like Green Arrow, Martian Manhunter, Hawkman, maybe Captain Marvel.
Wow.
But I'm not selling, like, I won't sell Captain Marvel because I like it. I won't sell Two-Face because I like him. And Two-Face could get me, like, $200 itself, too.
It's gone. Pay for that iPad.
No,
I've been thinking of getting a new iPad because I bought it when the first one came out. So I still have first generation. But the problem is no apps work anymore. Like, a few games in the browser. That's it.
That makes it tough, then. I mean,
I can't do anything with it, really. It used to be that the DC and Marvel app will work, but now they're not working, so it's like, ah. What I really need to do is just say, Marvel, I'm done. I'm going to Marvel Unlimited, except for Cap, Daredevil, and Thor, or whatever it is, and my Inhumans.
Yeah.
That's what I really need to do.
One thing with the Kindle, though, is with apps, if an app is available on the Google Play Store, so basically if the app is available for Android, you can put it on the Kindle pretty easily. You can't do it directly through the Kindle App Store, but you can do what is called side loading,
mm-hmm.
Which is basically you just download the app directly onto the Kindle and install it. It's pretty easy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to get rid of my Kindle Fire or anything, but I just wanted something that was a little bit more, I don't know.
Yeah, the iPads are still technically more robust.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm finding...
They're expensive, though, man.
They're too expensive.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You know, because...
Their accessories are ridiculous, like, in price. Like, I'm looking at the cases, and the cases that they sell, like Apple, it's ridiculous. So I just went on Amazon, and I bought something that's, like, $18.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I played around with it a little yesterday, added a bunch of the apps, like the streaming apps and the comic book apps and stuff, and just was playing around with it a little bit yesterday, and it was fun.
Yeah, if you want... Kindles are a good way if you want a cheaper tablet.
Yeah.
Either for like a supplement to your main tablet, or if you don't want to do anything more advanced with it, or if you don't want to have to worry about the value of it and that kind of thing. Compared to other tablets in the price range, they're really good for the mm-hmm. for the price, because other tablets at that price are going to be a lot cheaper. Because they're not loss leaders for the company.
Right.
Whereas with Amazon, they sell the Kindles in order to as a gateway to their content.
Exactly. You know, so they lose money right on every Kindle that they sell.
They probably do.
Like on the Kindle themselves.
Right.
But to your point, then people buy books. They buy videos.
It's the whole printer analogy. Like when you buy a printer, it's they probably lose money on the printer. Where they get you on is the cartridges.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, so that was my exciting day yesterday.
And you have something you need to go to today, right?
Yeah, so between 11:30 and 12, wherever there's a good
11:30,
like
so that's
break,
10:30.
We'll probably. Okay. Yeah,
all right, probably. So if you want to talk about, you want to go first.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm going to do first is I want to I'm just going to go through like some of the horror movies from my list that I've been watching in recently, and if there's any that you guys have seen or
where's
wondering
the source
about.
For of these huh? movies, what's the source of streaming?
Yes. Well, for the most part, unless I actually own them on DVD.
Yeah.
But this is part of that that book that I have for the 101 horror movies you have to see before you die.
Are you going in alphabetical order?
I'm going in no particular order.
Okay. Now that makes me angry.
Why? I didn't mean to make you angry, Mike.
No. Why do you do that to your comic books then? You don't have to go in that order.
I just want to.
You got to be consistent, man.
No. Mm-mm.
Come on.
I specifically didn't want to. You know, it is weird, though, because it's all the stuff that you said about comic books that I don't think applies to me, but it does apply for these movies. I didn't want to watch, like. First of all, I wouldn't go in alphabetical.
Wait, let me ask you. Are you going in time order?
No, I'm not going in
any
order.
Oh, God! What's going down? The whole theory of you is breaking down.
But listen. If I was going to go in a specific order, it would have been chronological order. But my issue is I didn't necessarily want to watch, like, five silent movies in a row. I would never get through them.
If we were on the newlywed...
I don't mind sprinkling them in. But, like, yeah. I was in the mood to watch other movies. So
In the mood. See, that's what the comics should be. In the mood.
That's not how I am for comics.
No. Hey, if we were on the Newlywed Game and we were newlyweds, I would get that question wrong because you would have thrown me for a loop.
I know. And then you would have hit me with the placard.
Yeah.
Well, I've been watching a bunch, so I don't know how many I've seen now, but... You know, I haven't watched anything in the past week because I was kind of busy this past week. But I was actually out of town for work. But here are some of the ones that I've seen recently. I saw a movie called Repulsion, and that's by Roman Polanski, who also did Rosemary's Baby. And Repulsion is just a few years before Rosemary's Baby, and it's this this woman who just does not have any interest at all in men. And she seems to have obviously deep-seated psychological problems. And her sister that she's living with goes away on a trip with her boyfriend, leaving the woman alone in the house. And she's having more and more trouble leaving the house. And she like keeps seeing cracks in the walls and stuff. And at first you thought that the cracks were real, and then you start to realize that this is just all in her head. And it just builds, it slowly builds and builds and builds and until like she totally like breaks from reality. And it was really, it's black and white. It's really, really fascinating to watch. I don't want to necessarily give away too much, but it stars Catherine, I can't pronounce her last name. It's Deneuve. Deneuve. I think she's the one, Mike, that you mentioned before that she's in, like, The Hunger or something like that. It was later on. That might have been her. I don't know. But anyhow, so that one I definitely recommend. That was a good movie.
What was that available on?
That one was available free on Shudder. It may be available for rental on Amazon, I'm assuming. If you don't have Shudder, you can probably rent.
Is Shudder a Samsung TV app or no?
No, it's a, I don't know who owns it, but it's a $4.99 a month streaming service that only has horror movies.
Yeah, I know. I just wondering if it was on the Samsung TV.
Oh, it's available, like, I have it. I don't know if you guys have Amazon Prime, but it's integrated in with Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't have Amazon
to have
Prime. So if you pay for it, you could watch it through Amazon Prime.
Exactly. If you just look up like Amazon you know, the Amazon Video app or whatever, yeah, and you just search for Repulsion, it will come up as free if you have Shudder. Okay, it will, so like, list down below, like, free on Shudder.
At the end of every movie, I want you to tell me the source.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Repulsion. I've seen this one several times, but I rewatched it, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm assuming, but I don't know. Yeah, have you guys seen that?
Of course.
Yeah. So that I just own on DVD. I'm not sure what streaming services it's on. Now here's one that I want to talk about. Audition. Have either of you seen Audition? It's a Japanese horror movie from 1990.
I have seen this one. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
This was another one. Mike, what did you think of it when you had seen it? Do you remember it or no?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty freaky, but
yeah. this is another one.
Japanese horror is very different, in my opinion.
I agree.
I saw a movie called The Eye, Audition, all the ones that they've remade. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was the Audition the one? Did it have a creepy girl in it too?
Yes.
With bangs, yeah.
Yeah, she's this very quiet, demure,
yeah,
girl. Basically, the plot line is this particular this guy, he had a young son and his boy's mother passes away right at the beginning of the movie. It cuts to like 10 years later. The kid's a teenager. The dad still hasn't dated. He hasn't, you know, seen any woman at all since his wife passed away. And his son, being like 17 now, is trying to convince his dad to get back out there. And he doesn't really know how to go about it. And he talks to one of his coworkers about it that works in the movie industry. And the coworker, he says, well, he's like, I got an idea. Let's pretend we're going to be financing a movie, and let's put this out, and we'll get all these people, all these women to come and audition, and you can, you know, you can look through and see if any of these women you're interested in. So that's what they end up doing. And this younger girl, she's probably, like, the guy's probably in his late 30s, maybe early 40s. And so the girl's like a good 15 or 20 years younger. And that's the one that he just becomes very attracted to, and actually legitimately falls in love with her, and things just start not adding up with, like, the different things that first she put on her resume for the movie job. And then, you know, quickly, like, he said, oh, the financing fell through, we're not going to do the movie, but I'd still like to see you. And she's interested to keep seeing him, and basically says, you know, I've dated other people before, and, you know, they've always, you know, it's never been that they just love me. And she's like, if I'm going to, you know, be with you, I'm going to love only you. And I, you know, I want you to love only me. And but then she's saying, like, weird things, like she used to work at this particular restaurant, and goes to the restaurant. The restaurant has been closed for years. And she used to take ballet before she broke her, I can't remember what she broke, but, and this place is abandoned, and there's some weird blind guy there. It's just like getting creepier and creepier. And sure enough, you know, towards the end, she's totally crazy. She said she had tried to do some music with a producer, a record producer at one point, and then he had gone missing, they found out. Well, it turns out that she had chopped off his feet and his many of his fingers and stuff, and just keeps them in a canvas bag inside of her, like, her apartment that's basically almost totally empty. She has like a telephone there and like a couple things, and this canvas bag is just rolling around. You don't find out until later what's in there. And so it, you know, comes out at the end where, like, she starts attacking him with needles, and like paralyzes him first with an injection, and starts attacking him with needles and so on and so forth. And this, I mean, it was really, really creepy and really, really good. I really enjoyed this movie. I definitely recommend people that had. I've known about the movie for a while, but I only recently finally watched it, and I definitely recommend it.
What was the source of that?
Now, the source for that one also is Shudder. Okay. Although it also may be free just on regular, because some of them overlap, the Amazon free Amazon Prime movies and the Shudder movies. Mm-hmm. They might, you know, because they are two different services, so they might actually overlap. I'm actually checking Audition right now to see.
Well, you actually get your money's worth on Shudder, it sounds like.
I definitely do. I haven't been, like I said, I haven't been watching as much recently, but okay, it looks like it is just free on Shudder. I can't tell if
what it's... What I wish these services would do is, like, if you were watching something, it would send you an alert saying, hey, dude, you realize this is going off?
Yeah.
I get so frustrated.
And then the other couple that I watched was an old movie from the late 50s called The Tingler. And it starred Vincent Price, where they literally, like, he's like a scientist / doctor. And he comes to the conclusion that when people are scared, an actual thing grows in your spine that kind of like freezes you in place. And, when you scream, it releases the thing's hold on your body and shrinks back into a microscopic level. And so he ends up finding a woman who's mute and can't scream. And so he decides to test his thesis on this woman, since she can't actually release the hold of this creature when she becomes frightened. And he actually pulls the thing out of her back and stuff, and it was very, it's definitely a typical 50s sci-fi / horror movie, kind of a, you know, low budget, kind of silly nowadays, but it was, you know, enjoyable enough to watch. And then I did watch Rosemary's Baby again. Oh, Tingler was also Shudder. And then I watched Rosemary's Baby, and that is on Amazon streaming, not free, you have to rent it.
Okay.
So I think that was like $2 or $3.99 or something like that. But not much.
When do you watch these movies?
I watch them most of the time. I watch them at night after Stacy goes to bed, because she typically doesn't like these movies. Although some of them, like, you know, like she wouldn't have cared about the 50s movie. She would not have wanted to watch Audition. She's seen Rosemary's Baby. I don't know if she has any interest in watching that again. But there's some other ones on the list that she would definitely watch again with me, that I haven't seen yet, but it depends on the type of movie. If it's kind of just like a little bit spooky and stuff, that's okay. If it's just outright like bloody and stuff, she's not interested in that at all. But, you guys have seen Rosemary's Baby or no?
I have not. I haven't seen any of these except for Audition and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Chris, have you seen Rosemary's Baby?
Yeah.
Mike, that's definitely one of the classics. So I won't go into spoiling anything, but it's, you know, basically a couple of Mia Farrow's the main character, and her and her husband move into a new apartment building that had strange things happening throughout its own history. And they befriend an elderly couple that lives next door, and things start to go bad. So I definitely recommend you watching that at some point if you're interested in horror movies.
Cool.
Yeah, I was just looking at horror movies, and none of these were on Netflix, so I was looking as I was going.
Netflix is, as far as I can see, and I went through all of the full list from the book, and I kind of jotted down next to it where I could find it. Netflix is not, I don't have Netflix listed once on any of these 101 movies. It's really ridiculous. Like,
did you read the comic book? There was a comic book publisher called Radical. Did you ever buy any books from them?
No, it's not. It doesn't sound familiar to me.
They were a Hollywood type trying to sell their scripts. The only one that went to Hollywood was Hercules. Like, they released the Hercules movie, and uh-huh. that was based on the comic book, directly off the comic book. But there's a movie now. I wonder if it's off their comic book. They had a horror book called The Abattoir. Is that how you pronounce it, Abattoir?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
It was actually a comic book that was scary as hell.
Wow.
And it's on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, oh, but cool. I don't know if it's related or not. It doesn't look like it, because if I would have made this movie, I would have put the creepy old guy that looked like the. Do you remember that old priest in Poltergeist?
Poltergeist 2?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the guy in the abattoir.
Oh, he is a scary looking.
Yeah,
man.
He's a scary looking dude. They like he looks exactly like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would definitely check that out. Seems like overall, it seems like some of the less popular movies are usually available on streaming for Netflix. I had had more luck just looking in the horror section for Amazon Prime free movies. In the past, I had seen quite a few pretty good ones, even before Shudder. But, I mean, if you want to get the DVDs for Netflix, I mean, you can get pretty much anything, but I don't have that. I don't have that service.
Yeah,
right now.
Sometimes they run out. Like if they have a low print run on something, and
yeah, they
it
do.
Goes into long wait or it's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Was it you I was talking to?
Stuff. Yeah, it's the obscure
somebody
stuff.
Else where there's like only one or two or whatever,
yeah,
and one person
sit
sitting on it.
Yeah, that was me. I was sitting on it. I never had time to watch it. That's why I quit the DVDs. Barb told me sometimes her logic. Gets the sinks in like it. All her logic makes sense, just none of it sinks in for comics.
Well, we were the same way in that we would put a bunch of things in our queue, and we're excited to kind of watch them when we put them in the queue. Mm-hmm. And then when they come, it's like I'm really not in the mood today to watch it. And then that turns into a full week, and 2 weeks, and a month.
Yeah.
And that was just sitting there. So we did the same thing. We dropped it. The DVD thing.
Now you're throwing me all off because it should be. No, I'll just watch it because that's the way you read comics.
I am really messing you up today. But
so it only pertains to comics, your OCD.
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
Because I specifically, like when I was looking at these movies, I'm like, okay, I can watch these. I mean, I don't think. Just in my head, alphabetic order for watching these movies would make any sense whatsoever. But chronologically, it could make total sense, right? You could see the history of these horror movies from start to finish. But I just knew, I'm like, I don't necessarily want to watch like three movies or four or five movies before even 1930. I kind of want to flip back and forth. So that's what I did. Whereas the comic books, I don't know. It just doesn't bother me. There's it gives me something to look forward to throughout like a whole week of comic books. I have scattered throughout just because they happen to be in alphabetic order, the ones that I'm most excited about. So I'm not watching or not reading all the ones that I'm really excited about all at the same time and the ones I'm less excited about at the end.
But I'd argue that could affect your
enjoyment.
Your enjoyment.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Can't say it's not possible. Because I've been reading it this way for, I don't know, 25 years now.
And
I mean,
I'm
one thing that
change it, that's for sure.
Yeah, you've tried your
I've
best.
I've tried.
But with Rob's method, he may avoid, I don't think this happens to you, Mike, but I know it does to some people where they won't get through their whole pile before their next order comes. And if it's ordered by what they're most excited about to read, they're getting towards the end of their pile. It's the stuff that they don't care about as much. And now they got this new shiny box of comics that have a whole bunch of comics in it that they want to read. And some people end up with stuff stuck on the bottom of their pile that they never get to.
See, and that's what I'm afraid. That's exactly
with Rob's method, that doesn't happen.
No, it can't happen. Because I want to make... But also to your point, Mike, is that, I mean, you've got a good way of doing it in terms of you're excited about different things at different times. So you're probably going to get through everything eventually. But one thing that I wouldn't be able to do, I think that's part of my, the OCD part with the comic books, is that just for instance, like you're reading the current DC stuff, like the all the Rebirth stuff, right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you haven't necessarily finished all of the stuff that came prior to that. I would literally not be able to read the new stuff until I already read the old stuff and I knew what.
But you're doing that. Don't tell me that.
I'm not.
You didn't even buy the new 52 stuff, so it's not there.
Oh well, no. I'm not saying the stuff that I chose not to buy. I'm saying the stuff that I literally had.
But there's
I
wouldn't no be able difference. To just have it in a box. There's no difference in what you're
it
saying.
Is.
No,
because you picked up for Gotham by Geeks. You picked up some Robin stuff that was like, I don't even know how old. It was like the original series of Robin. I'm like, how has he not read this stuff yet? That I would not be able to do that.
You could if you bought as much comics as me.
Yeah, Mike doesn't buy to read. He buys to establish a library within his house that gives him all the options of comic books. And whenever he feels like reading something in particular,
like
he has it available to him.
Yeah, stock a library.
You guys
library.
Hear that screaming?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. It was the kids. They were taking a bath.
I record but with
maybe
Bill Bulmer,
maybe the water
everything.
Maybe the water should be a little cooler if they're screaming.
No, we got to get them clean.
101 horror movies to reenact before you die.
Exactly.
There's a movie now that called The Windmill. Listen to this. Seeking shelter near a historic windmill, a group of tourists fall prey to a bloodthirsty miller from legend who's in league with the devil.
Oh my. Is that a new one?
That's on Netflix. It just showed up. Yeah.
Interesting. I just watched a movie called Devil's Candy, but we can't talk about that here because it came out last year.
Ah, was it good?
It was not as good as I was hoping it would be, put it that way. But it was not bad. It showed up on like I've got Verizon Fios, mm-hmm. and it showed up when I was looking at new movies that were available to rent. It showed up there, so I watched it only.
Hmm.
It was all right. Not the best thing I've ever seen.
All right, Chris, you want to go next?
Sure. What shall I select of my choices? All right, I've got a question for you guys.
Okay, I'm ready.
Mabel, you can answer this if you want to. What if the Punisher's family hadn't been killed?
Oh my God.
It's okay. You don't have to think about it too hard because
you have an answer
answered
for us?
It.
Really?
In issue 10 of volume 2 of What If by Marvel Comics.
Okay.
And as the story, the title is, I already read to you.
I hope it wasn't boring and he like just sat around and watched TV.
Mabel, no, that's not the answer to the question.
You that's asked not, her. You asked her.
I know. I know. I'm telling you, you're
you
wrong.
Say?
You're wrong. He
what issue was it, Chris?
Number 10.
10, okay.
I don't
the
even
answer
see
is
it
not,
in our database. Oh, never mind.
The Punisher went and got a flamingo squeaky toy and made noise with it on the podcast. That's not the answer to the question. But good try. Actually, the name of the story is the same, except for it goes on to say, what if the Punisher's family had not been killed in Central Park? So it's more specific. But it was written by Doug Murray, who I don't know. Penciled by Rick Levins, who I don't know. I do know the inker, Bob McLeod, but that's about it. So anyway, as usual, it's introduced by the Watcher as alternate reality. As we know, in the Marvel Universe, Frank Castle, he's a war vet, and his family is killed, and that's what leads him to go on to become a Punisher. And in this case, we see that almost happen as they are in the park and one of his kids' kites gets caught in some bushes that's just on the other side of some mob activity. And we see the things come close to happening as Frank goes over and gets the kite, and one of the mob guys even has a gun trained on him and his family, but they realize that they didn't see anything, so they let them go. A thunderstorm starts, so they're going to leave and end their picnic earlier, and Frank even thinks that he thought that he heard some gunfire because the mob takes out the guy that they were about to execute. But he thinks to himself, this is New York, not Vietnam. Why would anyone be firing guns here? So later that night, Frank is thinking about his future. What is he going to do with his life? And he tells his wife that he actually applied to the police force and that they accepted him. So he starts his career as a police officer in New York City. He is even appreciative of Spider-Man and what Spider-Man does to help them out, and you know, dropping off crooks, leaving them webbed up for them to find. But it's not long before Frank discovers that the police force has a lot of corruption in it. The guy that they bring in that Spider-Man left for them is let go, as Frank's partner points out to him and shows him what's going on with the judge being paid off. And it goes further later on. He sees that that his partner's getting a payoff to ignore the fact that this deli is also a front for selling drugs. So he's having a real moral dilemma as he realizes all this is going on. Eventually, he decides to go to the captain of his precinct, and it all seems pretty good at first because his captain turns out to be a veteran as well, a former Marine as well. So Frank feels like he's got a good connection, and his captain asks him to start collecting evidence for him to nail the corrupt cops. But we see that as Frank is leaving his captain's office and feeling pretty good about things for the first time in a little while, his captain actually puts a call into someone and indicating that his captain is actually in on the corruption. So some time passes, quite a few months pass, actually, with Frank investigating, really doing a thorough job, kind of giving evidence to the methodical character that we know as the Punisher in the way that he doggedly tracks down evidence against the other police officers. Eventually he decides he has enough, he actually keeps originals of the material to keep it safe, and hands the copies over to the captain. So we know something bad's going to happen now that he's turned in all of his work. One night at their apartment, unexpectedly, a family friend of theirs, his name's Jake. He's got kind of a similar build to Frank, although he's got longer hair and mustache. He drops in and looks like he's, it's not quite clear if he's a friend of Frank's wife or if he's a friend of Frank's from the military, but he works on a merchant mariner, and I guess they told him he could crash their So anyway, they got a family friend sleeping on the couch. That's the important thing, that when Frank's getting ready for bed, all of a sudden the mob, called in by his captain, opens fire on the bedroom. Frank is on their house, basically. Frank is in the bathroom as this is happening. He ducks, he drops down to take some cover. They throw some grenades in into the house to finish everybody off. And eventually Frank pushes his way out from under, looks like, the door to the bathroom. He makes his way, kind of just operating on instinct, finds his gun, only to go into his bedroom and to see his wife and children all dead. His friend, who was sleeping on the couch, was killed in the grenade blast. And so Frank disappears, and pretty much everyone, you know, due to the grenade blast and everything, they assume that the family friend is actually Frank, that he was killed. So they do a burial of the whole family, and he's even eulogized by the captain, who is responsible for all this. As he's being eulogized, we see, you know, alternating panels of him giving the eulogy and someone preparing a long-range rifle, mm-hmm. and bam! He's shot in the heart. And we see, not yet wearing the skull, but we see Frank in a similar sort of black outfit with the long-range rifle. And he goes further, take down the corrupt judge that he's aware of, and just starts making war on the city that would look kind of familiar to comic fans at this point. And at first, they're calling him an angel of death in the Daily Bugle. And he kind of thinks back to how he felt about Spider-Man and the job that he does and the way that the Daily Bugle treats him. But because of that, it's what motivates him to take the evidence that he kept the originals of, and he drops it off to Robbie Robertson anonymously, or he emails it anonymously. All this evidence that he has, that all these people that he's killing are actually corrupt. So the paper ends up calling him the Avenger of Corruption rather than the Angel of Death. And at the same time, we see the Kingpin is starting to get pissed at him. And so in the last couple pages, we see him actually have the Punisher motif. He's got the skull on his costume as he goes face to face with the partner that he had that introduced him to the corruption in the first place. And he said, I thought you were dead. He's like, yeah, you're right. Frank Castle is dead. He died with his family. I'm the man who's going to clean up scum like you, et cetera, et cetera. So basically the answer to the story that What If gives us is that if the Punisher's family hadn't been killed in Central Park, they still would have been killed anyway.
It's a butterfly effect.
Would have become the Punisher anyways. Yeah, so this comic is firmly on the side of fate or destiny or what have you.
Yeah.
That you can't control it. So I don't know that I necessarily agree with it philosophically. Wasn't actually familiar with the creators. I think it does a good job of, you know, what if they can go different ways. Sometimes the comics are kind of silly. But it's a pretty well told tale, even if you can kind of see where it's going. And Rick Levins and Bob McLeod do a nice job of a fairly standard sort of realistic comic style that is suitable to the story. So it was a fun quick read, you know. I enjoyed it.
And just like Rob, what was the source of this information? Where did it come from?
The source was, well, it is a good question for me when it comes to a Marvel book, whereas, and this is actually a paper copy.
Yeah?
But where did it come from?
It came from the 50 Cent bin at Dave and Adams.
Oh, man. God, if there was a fifth, I think I would, like, my eyes would bulge at this 50 Cent bin. Like, I think I'd walk out with, like, a dolly full of boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, just like the...
Because I have this compulsion, yeah. It's like, if I could get a full run or something, I'm going to go for it. I don't give a shit what it is.
And can you imagine now? They're 25 cents.
Yeah.
They will like, let you fill up a long box. Yep.
I would not mind doing what Chris did with the 2-in-1s and the Marvel team-up, because...
Yeah.
That's been an area I've wanted to explore. And then this What If, too, is also really interesting. Matter of fact, I was looking at a full run of Volume 1 for $219. Wow. Which isn't bad, because it's free shipping and it's 47 issues.
And yeah, some it's of those, hit or miss.
Some of those issues are $30 each, so it's not bad.
You can sometimes find runs of stuff. Usually missing key issues, but that's usually depends on when you hit it and when they put the box out. They usually get torn up pretty quick, not literally, but you know, picked over pretty quickly if they are in there. So you got to hit it at the right time.
Is it a comic shop, Chris? Hmm? What is it? Is it a comic shop or a swap meet? What is it?
Neither. They start out as a sports card memorabilia store, and they bought a big warehouse, so they had time to, or they had space to expand. So they started a comic book area, and then now they've started to pull in video games, also board games and that kind of stuff.
Toys,
but I'd say their primary and. They're historically have been a sports cards and memorabilia.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have sports player signings and stuff.
But Mike, that's the place that I went online to get them, because they didn't have them in the stores. They had them in the warehouse. But that's where I got those two last X-Men comics that I needed.
Wow.
Happened to be Dave, their website, Dave and Adams.
But you didn't pay like 25 cents for them, did you?
No. I paid regular. I mean, you know, like.
So these guys,
decent prices.
These guys know what they have, essentially.
Oh yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. They know what has money and what is not valuable.
They buy bulk lots and they cherry pick out anything that's worth more than a couple dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they're not gonna. They don't care if it's like. They'll sell a book that's like $2 or $3 for 50 cents. But
I mean, you might even find a $5 or $10 book in there if it's technically $10, meaning that that's what the price guide says, but in reality, nobody's really going to give you $10 for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I actually bought, what are those worth? The, not the hardest one to get, Mike, but the Armorines, the Acclaim Armorines. Yeah. What was it? Like 4 issues, 5 issues, yeah. Something like that. I got number 2 and 3 in the 50 cent bin.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, I mean, honestly, they probably would have just, I mean, they did. They sat there for who knows how long before I found them.
Yeah.
They didn't have number 1, and they certainly didn't have number 4, which was the, number 4 is a really hard one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, number 2 and 3 are saying that they're 40 or 50 bucks, but I mean, I don't know if they're really that much.
Yeah. You'd at least get 10 for them for sure.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. So,
so I mean, they tend to focus on the more expensive stuff and aren't bothered with some of the stuff that. So you can still find some fun stuff, some decent deals, but the real obvious stuff, if it does get left in there, it disappears pretty quick.
What I wish is I could just buy a warehouse, and it was like next door. Like if I could just tear down the neighbor's yard, and just. Make it a warehouse, just a warehouse for my comics. That would be awesome.
I would love to visit that.
Yeah. I just love to do that. Barb always listens to Geek Brunch, and that could be my downfall.
Yeah.
she doesn't listen to any geek podcasts except for Bill, the one with me and Bill. And she heard me talking about, I think we were talking about Warren Ellis's trees. And she said, and I said something in there like, man, when I read number one, I didn't like it. And then I read two and three, and then I was hooked. And she says, why do you do that? Why don't you just stop? Then you won't know it. And I said, well, what if I don't know? And then her logic is, but you would never know if you're going to like it if you never read it. So she makes a lot of, she makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't make sense in my mind. She will not.
That's why she's listening, checking on you.
Yeah.
She's starting to chip away, though, I noticed. That's a couple months.
She's starting to. Until
62 and a half. We're getting that down.
Until I order this What If 1 through 47. The one that's hot there is the What If Jane Foster Became Thor thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's I can imagine.
The
yeah.
latest. I have that. It's one of the few I have because I bought it before she became Thor.
Yeah.
Because there was speculation about it. You know, I was listening to speculators talk, and I'm like, what if it is her? I'm going to buy it while it's still on the cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when you got it?
Yeah, that's when I got it.
Yeah, that was smart.
Nice.
Because I didn't, I don't normally buy these What If, although my like, What If and Elseworlds, they were, like, outside of what I wanted in continuity. And now that I'm older, I think I appreciate them more. So I recently made a back issue purchase. I completed all my DC annuals I was missing, at least from the current the volumes that were prior to the New 52, like the Wonder Woman, the Flash, the I still have one Wonder Woman annual. I can't find it. It's Ghosts. The Ghost. I used to like how they had the theme annuals. That was kind of
yeah,
fun.
Me too. Yeah.
I wish they'd do that again.
You guys, my daughter wants to let you know that we, when it gets nice outside, we'll be going to the Erie County Fair.
All right.
Oh, cool.
They said cool.
You know what? If I was there with, if I was there and I lived by you, I'd go with you.
Yeah. Oh. One, my friend Mike said that if he lived nearby us, that he'd go with us. Mr. Chris lives nearby, though, so maybe he'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could take his doggy, nice? Doggy to the park.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't
that wouldn't be a good idea.
Bye-bye. Okay, the kids are going to go get ready to go to go to my parents.
Ah. All right.
Of course
well,
I am, yeah.
I'm going to talk about profit. So I recently made a big My Comic Shop purchase, and I'm completing my Image runs.
That's spending money, Mike. That's not making a profit.
Oh, no. Profit's the title. This is a profit. And one of the things that came out of this was an artist that people were fond of in the 90s, and that was Stephen Platt. And this was his first interior profit book. So he did the cover for issue 4, and then he did the cover and interiors for issue 5.
You mean all the work he did before that, he didn't get paid for it?
No, he didn't do it for profit.
That's crazy.
Sorry, I'll stop.
And this isn't profit. Like it's not P-R-O-F-I-T.
Not profit. Oh.
It's profit, like religion.
Like the Old Testament.
Yeah, like Bibles and stuff.
Oh, I see.
Hezekiah.
Yeah, there you go. Now we're in the mood, right? Now we're getting what this is about. This is
so
about
which
Jonathan
volume is
Taylor.
This
is volume 1.
Got it.
So this volume was recently redone by another indie writer, and they just continued the numbering, and they did the same thing with Glory. But this is a prophet, and he's hooked up to this contraption in a place, a business that's called Ragnarok. How do you pronounce that? That's the Thor thing, like the end of the world.
I've never said it out.
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And he's in this machine, and they're like hitting him with all these visions, like he's in Nazi Germany or he's in Vietnam and he's fighting people, but he's not. And his buddy is Jack Kirby. That's what's freaking awesome. It's like it's got Jack Kirby with a big gun and a machine gun, and he's watching him as they're testing him. And it looks like their intentions are ill will now, but they didn't know they were at the time. And the machine turns them into like a killing machine, and at the same time they betray Jack Kirby and they like injure him and such. And then Prophet, as he's in these simulations, he's just like massacring all these people. But then he breaks out of the machine, and his mind isn't in the right place. He just starts destroying everything. And this organization is like, well, how the hell are we going to get him back? And they essentially get Kirby, even though they betrayed him, to go hunt down his best friend. So that's how it ends. But the art is, man, it's... I remember liking it a lot, but I think I liked it more when he was doing, I think his Vengeance of the Moon Knight. Or Mark Spector Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. Mark Spector Moon Knight.
Yep.
So if you're looking at your database, it'd be Mark Spector Moon Knight, not Moon Knight Volume.
I remember that one. I think that's the one I actually collected most of.
That's when he became hot, because if you remember the Wizard magazine, Stephen Platt was featured as one of the hot artists.
Oh, yeah.
He's really hyper-detailed. Like, when he draws Prophet, there's, like, 1,000 gazillion lines in there. And there's, like, every bullet, like, on his chest is drawn. You know, every single pouch. He has this headgear. There's a lot of lines in it. So it's almost like, man, it's too overwhelming in some of it. Like, you don't usually – it's so hyper-detailed that – it distracts a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can see that.
But the covers he did was real nice. The interiors, when he focuses on Prophet, it's too hyper-detailed. When it's another character, it looks really nice. I think he has... You know how all these image artists were trying to mimic styles?
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely closest to McFarlane any of the other guys.
So yeah,
especially if you look at the supporting cast and such, it looks like it can come out of Spawn.
But it was
an interesting read, and the writer was Rob Liefeld, so he's the writer and creator. He created a lot of stuff. Usually a lot of these books were written by Eric Stevenson, but Rob did this one, so...
And how are you doing on your, because I know you've been getting a lot of image books recently, so what are you still missing? What are you still hoping to get?
I completed Youngblood. I thought I was missing one, but from all my research, the book doesn't exist, even though I have a cover image of it. I can't find evidence that this book exists, and I've hit up a bunch of people.
Wow.
It's supposed to be a bootleg from a Wizard World, and... I can't find it, so I don't think I'll ever complete whatever that is if it does exist. So I've completed the Youngblood, I've completed the Cyberforce, I've completed the Stormwatch, I've completed Glory. I didn't think I did, but they had a... I was like, I can't find this Glory book. And it wasn't listed as a flip book in my database, it was Glory number 16. I'm like, what is going on? And then I looked at the cover I zoomed in on the cover... And I said, that's Brigade. That's Brigade number 16. And you know what they did? It wasn't a flip book, but they made Brigade number 16 and Glory number 16 the same book. Because they crossed over with one another. So I claimed credit for it in Brigade and had it as empty in the database. The other.
Gotcha.
So that was another shenanigan, but I was a little smarter this time. I put on my Sherlock Holmes hat and did some investigation.
Yeah, I did some detecting.
I dug deep and I said, wow, that's the same cover in both of them. So,
and I know you said Spawn is going to be tough, right?
Yeah, Spawn I have to do. Wildcats I have to do. Wildcats I have a good portion of. Spawn I have a good portion of, except I'm missing like 50 issues after 60, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. A good honking piece until we hit 100 or something like that.
When did you start buying it again? 100?
I think around DCBS time, when I started in 2011, I think, is when I started DCBS. Mm-hmm. So somewhere around there, I said, why did I ever let this Spawn go away? So Glory, I've have completed except for the new stuff, the stuff that just came out recently, and then Prophet I completed, and Troll I completed, Brigade, Bloodstrike, and New Men and New Man I've completed. And
so what are you trying to do, like, in terms of completion?
Just the launch. Just
all the launch stuff.
Just the early years.
Yeah.
By the studios, like Wildstorm. Yeah,
when it was like all the
Shadowhawk and all that. Yeah, where it's superhero focused.
Yeah, makes sense.
But man, you guys got Chris got me so into the Punisher. Oh my god.
Yeah, he's like, been. You've been on a little bit.
I am going down a rabbit hole now because of that one arc, the Eric Larson arc. I freaking love that arc. It started off in a boxing ring and led to a ninja camp, and I mean, I was like, oh god, this is too great. So I went in there for Eric Larson,
yeah,
but
really
what I really found out is I love Mike Baron's writing. Like, it's fast paced. It is not condensed, like, you know, decompressed like Bendis at all. It's the opposite. It's like one thread leads to another, and he's in Japan. Now he's in Las Vegas. Now he's here. I'm like, okay, I like this, man.
Yeah, I read the rest of that story arc as well. I really enjoyed it also.
Yeah, so
it was really good, yeah.
I may vector away from my Image thing for a while just because I fell in love with Spawn. Yeah. So
I felt the same way. That just same thing. I was like, oh yeah, I remember that Eric Larson did a few issues of these, and then after reading them, I thought, oh wow, I think I really like Mike Baron's Punisher in general, regardless of who's doing the art.
Yeah, that's what because I read 20 too, because my compulsion saw that I was missing 20, so I read 20 through 25, and I was like, you know what? I am suckered. So now this rabbit hole is going towards Punisher and like War Journal and War Zone, and I want to get it all. I want to fill it
in. I've never been a big Punisher fan at all.
I'm a mood Punisher reader, so
it depends on the writing for me.
I tried it again when the new series had launched.
Becky Cloonan
last year. Yeah, I bought two issues and I'm like, yep, I'm still not a Punisher fan.
You didn't even like Garth Ennis?
I liked some of that I read.
You didn't like the Garth Ennis stuff?
I can't remember if I got that one or not, because honestly, I'll try it. It seems like every once in a while, and then I'm like, no, I still don't like it, and then I won't try like the next few series because I'm just never seem to like it. What year was Garth Ennis?
It was in the 2000s for sure.
I think it was Marvel Knights, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I found it. Yeah, I don't have.
He did the Marvel Max series too.
Yeah, I don't have any of the one with Garth Ennis.
But then there's volume 3, which is the John Ostrander with Tom Lyle and Pat Broderick art. Oh my god. Like, why don't I have that?
I've got the mini series, and then my brother for a little bit started buying the other ones, honey. And then my brother started buying some comic books when he's younger than me, because I was collecting them, and so he bought the next volume, the first ongoing series of The Punisher.
Yeah.
But then after that, I didn't. I bought the
first. What'd you call honey, me or Mike?
That was for you, Chris.
Oh.
I did get the John Ostrander, but only the first six issues, and then I dropped it.
And then when Marvel Knights started, he was like dead, and he was an angel.
Yeah, I never read.
And they did away with that pretty fast, and then that's when the Garth Ennis stuff started.
Gotcha.
So I have everything pretty much from Volume 4. I have a good portion of Volume. I have the first mini series, and then a good portion of the second series, but I'm missing a bunch in the middle, just like I was Ghost Rider. I must have followed the same pattern. Like, DC, I never usually quit, but Marvel, I always do. I'm even thinking about doing it again.
I know. That's what you were just saying.
Yeah,
just get a couple of the big ones that you still want, huh?
Yeah, so why don't you hit us up with your next pick?
All right, let's see. All right, I'll do this quick because then I'm going to have to get off. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is going to be Brave and the Bold. Number 106. And it's Batman and the Green Arrow plus question mark. It's from 1973 by Bob Haney and art by Jim Aparo. Good stuff. So in this one, what Batman discovers, it starts off with a car going off of a cliff into water, and he goes to try to rescue the person, and he's already dead. He was being chauffeured, and the chauffeur had managed to get out through the broken window underwater, but the person that owned the car, he passed away. He had in his hand a coin that looked like it was some kind of, it was a coin, but it was a stock certificate for the Stark Corporation. And on the other side was the number 2. And so he's like, well, what? Batman's like, well, what is this? And he's like, I'm going to investigate. What he finds out is that some younger woman, she is the, basically, she's going to stand to inherit all of this money for this corporation. Hang on one second. Honey, I've got to keep, I'm going to have to get back to you, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happened was that Miss Salome Starr is basically going to stand to inherit $10 million, but she's basically, you know, she likes the high life and she can't wait. So what she did was she sold that inheritance to 5 shareholders for $5 million. So basically, she gets the $5 million right away, and then down the road, when she's due to inherit the money, she gets they get to split the $10 million, basically doubling their money. So that's what the 2 was on the coin, meaning that they're going to double their money. So then Batman investigates and finds out that one of the shareholders is Oliver Queen. So in the meantime, he gets called to a fire, and he goes running in, trying to save the guy. It's too late. He had too much smoke inhalation, and he's dead. And sure enough, it's the second stockholder of these shares. At this point, Green Arrow comes into town, and they decide to team up to see what's going on here. And as they're investigating, there's another shareholder, and they're, again, not in time. That's pretty much standard for a lot of these, right? And they end up meeting Salome Starr and they start talking to her and say, you know, we suspect you. And she gets her lawyer and basically they say, listen, you know, you basically what's going to happen if all of these shareholders die before you get the inheritance? Like, is that go back to you or something? And because these are non-transferable. And so the lawyer says, no, they're actually going to go to a medical research clinic in Switzerland. And the shareholders can't pass them on to their own heirs. And Salome is not going to get her, you know, the money either. And so he's like, this is interesting. Because that was his first thought, is that it would be going back to Salome Star and that she would have something to do with it. And then he's driving with Green Arrow, and Green Arrow gets attacked, but he saves himself. Somebody pushes him at the subway station, and he managed to get against the wall and saved himself. And he's telling Batman this later, and said, you know, this the guy who looked kind of had a weird face and stuff, and he's like, it could be distortion, but Batman says, we've got to get back. So he goes back to Salome Star's apartment, and the security guard says that she and her lawyer left to catch a flight to Switzerland. And so out of nowhere, Batman says, come on, Green Arrow, we've got to stop them. We've got to stop Two-Face. And Green Arrow's like, Two-Face? Why do you think it's Two-Face? They give the whole story of Two-Face. And Batman says that, you know, Two-Face has tangled with him many times, and what it turns out to be is that he's, without Salome Star knowing, he basically set this up because he wants all of this money to go to this facility, because the facility itself has, with the extra money, could probably get the technology to actually fix his face. So that's where he wanted to go. So they go out to Switzerland, and they meet up Salome Star and say, you know, we've got to kind of protect you from what's going on. And as they're skiing, they're going, another person gets, or actually the third person hadn't get killed before, that was Green Arrow, he was still alive. So the third person got killed, so now there's only, or it was the fourth person. So the only person left is Green Arrow that has these shares. So they decide to take a hike up to a mountaintop, and Batman thinks that this is going to lure Two-Face out. And sure enough, as they're going, he's basically using Green Arrow as bait. And they're using, like, rope and stuff, and Green Arrow ties a rope up, and somebody with a sniper rifle shoots the rope, and you see Green Arrow plummet to the ground, and he's assuming that he's dead, but really it was just a dummy that they set up so Two-Face would think that he was dead. So in the meantime, Batman goes skiing towards the shooter, and Green Arrow is quickly after him. This guy, he's all dressed in black, and so you can't tell if it's Two-Face or not, but he's aiming towards Batman, and Green Arrow saves his life by shooting an arrow at the rifle itself. And he's coming down quick on this masked man, and he takes off his mask, and it is Two-Face. He's got two different ways to go, so he lets the coin decide which way to go. And the coin gave him the wrong advice, because he went one particular way, there was a huge crevice and he can't stop. And so he's like, oh, maybe I can get to the other side, and all the way down to the bottom, and he doesn't make it. So the last thing is that Bruce ends up picking up the coin, and it says, Two-Face gone, that secret, brave and the bold ones, is locked in the glacier's icy heart. Who knows if this is really the end? So it was cool for me, because I didn't know ahead of time reading it that Two-Face was going to be in it. And as you guys know, that's my favorite Batman villain. So it was actually a pretty pretty interesting story. I enjoyed I had a lot of time this past week to read some older comics. Mm-hmm. Because I do twice a month DCBS, and this was a five-week month.
Yeah,
so
you missed
I had
a week.
Literally nothing to read this whole past week.
Well, you haven't been posting on Twitter what you've been reading either.
Yeah, I probably will start doing that again. It's just not like I didn't have a lot of extra time.
Yeah.
So I read a lot of older books this past week, and then on Friday my shipment came in. It was three weeks worth of comics, so now I've got a lot of comics to read.
Yeah, I thought this week was going to be a light week because of the fifth week. I was mistaken.
You were mistaken.
Yeah. I was like, Barb, today's going to be a light week. There's hardly anything shipping.
And then what happened?
Holy crap. A bombshell statue, like seven trades. And.
Oh, my God. And then did you say to Barb, I was right. It's just a light week.
No, there was a lot of independent books, too. And Marvel. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of Marvel. The DC was really light, but everything else was heavy. And that's usually what I'm looking at is the DC and basing everything off of that. So
yeah, sure.
I was mistaken.
We're very mistaken.
Do you have to leave now?
Yeah, I probably should get ready. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us, because I know you're a busy man.
I'm a very busy guy.
Yeah, a lot of demands.
No, it's fun. Yeah. But so we'll catch you guys again in a couple weeks.
All right.
And enjoy the rest of your discussion. I look forward to listening to it.
Oh, and when you get this bag, I want to know what the two middle ones are.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
because
I'll do the middle.
I tried to peek. I can't do it. The bag is too tight.
When
it was three books, you used to be able to do that. At least a little bit. You'd see a corner of it and maybe say, oh, yeah, I think it's a Spider-Man book. But when they pack four books in there, you can't see it at all.
No. I'll do that little Facebook video thing when I open them up.
Yeah. All right. Again. Well, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, Chris. Bye, Mike.
Okay, bye. Take care.
Take care.
All right, Chris.
All right, Mike. I don't have a question this time.
Mike on the mic.
Mike is on the mic. I don't have a question this time, but I did. But I do have an introduction of a character named Gaggy. He is, as we all know, because since he's been introduced, he's been a regular sidekick to the Joker on pretty much every appearance that the Joker has made, and pretty much synonymous with the Joker, just like Batman and... Wait, I might have that wrong. but I read Batman number 186. And this is a physical copy, but it is not in very good condition. Actually, it might literally be in... That may be good. I don't know. The cover is still attached, but just barely. And it's all intact, but it's got some... All the pages are there, but there's a pretty good rip in the front cover. And there's some chunks missing of the covers. Just tiny chunks along the edges. Nothing too serious. But, it's not in the greatest shape. But it was very readable. And as was wont at the time, the creators are not listed, so I got them looked up here on Mike's Amazing World of Comics. There's two stories in this issue. The first one is called The Joker's Original Robberies, and it's a 14-page story. It was written by my buddy from Flash and Green Lantern, Mr. John Broom, with art by Sheldon Moldoff and Joe Giella. And since I am on the page, I'll go ahead and get the details on the second story, which is called Commissioner Gordon's Death Threat. And that's 10 pages, and that was written by Gardner Fox with art by, again, Sheldon Moldoff and Joe Giella. So the art's the same, the writer changed. So it's kind of a clever title for the first story, The Joker's Original Robberies. You think it might be a story about Joker's beginnings, but in fact it is the fact that he robs originals. And we see at Joker's hangout a bunch of his henchmen. Some of them are playing cards, They got a dummy dressed up in a suit for pickpocket practice. But then we have Gaggy, who is a little person, and he's dressed in a jester's costume. At least the lower part doesn't have anything on his head. But Gaggy is the guy who can make the Joker laugh. His real name is Gagsworth A. Gagsworthy, of course. And Joker finds him pretty funny. And it turns out that when the Joker laughs, he gets an idea to commit a crime. So it's pretty convenient to have Gaggy around making him laugh. He comes up with ideas. And this one is that he is going to go and steal at an exhibition, a Salon of Spectacles. They have all of the original models used for inventions, like you can see the original steamboat, battleship, original phonograph, light bulb. So obviously in the case of like steamboat and battleship and stuff, it's not the originals made, but the original models used to, I guess, indicate the idea, to develop the idea. And so I guess these are fairly valuable. Thankfully, Batman and Robin are quickly on the scene to fight, and Gaggy actually turns out to be fairly useful. He does have a little bit of a super ability in that he has a scream kind of like Black Canary's. Maybe not as powerful, but he can make glass shatter, and he does that to the chandelier over top of the guards, and bothers them that way. And he also gives Robin a good sock to the stomach with a headbutt and stuns him. And he's actually close to taking off Robin's mask to reveal his identity when Batman punches Joker and knocks him over into Gaggy so that Dick Grayson's identity is not revealed. But Joker and the Gaggy and the gang, they get away with the originals. Do their getaway car that can pour out exhaust, and Batman and Robin are coughing in the gas in the exhaust. So they get away for now. In part two of the story, what the dynamic duo decides to do is they think, well, Batman's aware of the fact that there are some more original models out there, and he thinks the one that was missing from the exhibition is the model for their first electric typewriter, and so that they're going to go and try to get that before the Joker does. And they go to an inventor named Philip Perry. Well, unfortunately, it turns out that while he does have a model of an electric typewriter, he built his 6 months after a man named Hamilton Tyne, who also lives in Gotham City. And Mr. Perry happens to know Mr. Tyne's address, conveniently. I guess they're both part of the inventor community and such. And so, unfortunately, when Batman and Robin get to Mr. Tyne's house, all that they find is a note from the Joker. So the Joker's beat him to the punch. And meanwhile, Gaggy is punching a punching doll that he has made of Robin. Because he's being that he's the Joker's sidekick, Robin is Batman's sidekick, that's his mortal enemy. So he's punching this dummy, and but it bounces back and hits him in the head, and he gets mad and kicks it, stubs his toe. Once again, he makes the Joker crack up, and so the Joker gets another idea. But this time he puts a ad in the newspaper as a riddle to taunt the Caped Crusader, and Batman, he's the world's greatest detective, so he figures it out that they are going to disrupt the dedication of the original City Hall of Gotham City. So, you know, like a lot of cities, there's a City Hall that the city, as it expanded, grew out of. It wasn't too small. It's just a tiny little building. And it's just a historical interest at this point. Well, as Batman and Robin arrive, the City Hall is being lifted right out of its foundations by Joker in a helicopter. And Batman and Robin jump onto the bottom of the building just in time to hitch a ride. And when Joker thinks that he's gotten away with it, he's dropped City Hall down a distance away. Batman and Robin come flying out of the building to attack. And this time they're successful in taking them into custody. The police arrive and put Joker and Gaggy in jail. And that was the last that we would see of Gaggy for a very, very long time. But he actually did show up not that long ago in Gotham City Sirens for a storyline, it turns out. I was curious to see if he had ever been used before, or used again, and sure enough, it took him a while, but they dragged him up.
Very good series. I love
it. Yeah, so they explained that part of the reason that Gaggy hated Robin so much is that he was in a trapeze act before Dick Grayson's family came along, and when the Graysons came along, he was his act was canceled, and they used him just as like a sideshow freak and stuff like that. So he had resentment towards Robin for that. But the other story, the one written by Gardner Fox, is shorter and a little less notable. There's basically a threat, as the title indicates, on Commissioner Gordon's life. But the twist here is that it involves a crook who was put away by Gordon decades ago, and now that he's out of jail, he has spent his intervening years getting his imitation of Commissioner Gordon's voice down pat. So he's able to call Batman and trick Batman into thinking that it's Commissioner Gordon calling. Well, that's not enough to get the best of Batman, of course. He goes to where he's supposed to, and he knocks on the door and doesn't get an answer. He finds that suspicious because, based on what Gordon said, he wouldn't be sleeping. So he unlocks the door with his skeleton key, and as he starts to open it just a tad, he sees that the room's dark. And so he only puts his hand in to flip on the light. And yes, of course, it was rigged to blow. But he still has the bulk of the door in front of him, so that protects him from the blast. And it also makes the crooks think that they've gotten away with it. Well, he's actually apart from Robin when this all goes on, because he doesn't have time to find Robin due to the urgency of the situation. So Robin has his own encounter with the crooks, coincidentally. Robin's driving the Batmobile on his own, trying to track down Batman and where he took off to, when he actually has an encounter with the crooks on his own. He does pretty good, but the guy uses the same trick of using Commissioner Gordon's voice, and it distracts Robin for a second. He gets knocked on the back of the head, knocked out, and then the partners regroup, compare notes, and they use the Batcopter to track down Commissioner Gordon and rescue him. There's kind of one final detail that's kind of goofy, is that when they are getting near to this mansion where they believe Gordon to be held, they actually see the bat signal reflected from the upper window onto a nearby tree. And so it looks like somebody had painted the window black, and then scratched out the bat symbol. So if you shined light on it, it would be a bat symbol. And when they get in, and after rescuing him, they, you know, give Gordon credit for doing that. And Gordon explains that he didn't actually make a bat symbol. He was just, while they had him trapped, he doodled on the window with his tie clasp. You know, I guess was just reminiscing about Batman rescuing him. So he did a bat signal. And then when the crooks came in to speak with them, it was the light front that they brought with them. So that just seemed like a weird complication, like a weird detail. Like, it might have just been easier to have had Gordon actually purposely create the symbol in hopes that he'd be rescued. I don't exactly understand the necessity or appeal of that complication, but yeah,
neither,
so
neither
it was,
do I.
Yeah, but otherwise, you know, it's a fun issue to just pick up cheap and a reader copy, as they call it. Interesting, the very last panel is one of those in-house ad panels, and it's that time when they were doing the professor, it's an invitation. Professor Ira West invites you to attend the marriage of his daughter Iris to Barry Allen in the November issue of The Flash. So that tells you where The Flash was at the time.
Yeah. I have this issue, so you don't make me go off and buy something again.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because you wouldn't probably want a reader's copy.
Well, I remembered that name, and it must have been from the other title, yeah. Because I didn't,
yeah.
Even though I own this, I know I didn't read it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you first mentioned his name, I was like, is he going to talk about that Joker series? Because there was that one character that was the straight guy, and I thought his name was his name Gaffey.
Gaggy.
Gaggy, yeah, and I thought his name was that. So I was like, is he going to talk about that? And, yeah. Then I saw the cover, and I'm like, oh, that looks familiar.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny cover.
So I'm going to take you back into the future. I'm going to go to 1994.
Ah.
That was a good year. That was when I started my life. For real. College was done. I wasn't collecting any Marvel. I was barely getting, I don't know, back when I first got a job, I think I was really conservative. I was getting some Valiant, I was getting some DC, and maybe that was it.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then there was some odds and ends, like Daredevil. I never stopped with certain characters with Marvel, but it was few and far between. But anyway, I missed out on a lot of this Midnight Suns. Back during this time, Ghost Rider was pretty doggone hot. Because he had a Midnight Suns Unlimited series. They had Spirits of Vengeance with Johnny Blaze. They had Ghost Rider. They had Doctor Strange. They had Darkhold. There was a lot of Midnight Sun titles.
Yeah.
There might have even been a Blaze title. I don't recall. But I recently completed, well, I have one issue to go. There's one issue I'm missing. My comic shop didn't have it at the time, so I didn't get it. But I've completed my Ghost Rider Volume 2. And
nice.
I've never read these series of books from like 46 on. But I have read before that, and that's kind of like when I stopped. Even in college, I was getting a boatload of comics, and then life started, and I started to think, oh, I got to start saving for a house, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to cut down.
Mm-hmm.
But I missed out on a lot of this stuff. These copies that I got from my comic shop, they were really cheap. But they were listed as very fine. They look so immaculate. I mean, it's almost like I don't want to touch them. Because very seldom do you see copies that are just... They look perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The pages and everything just looks, the covers just look perfect. But I'm going to cover Ghost Rider 46 and 47. And 46 is in the middle of a storyline, and it took me a ways to get in because it opens up. It's by Howard Mackie. He did a lot of the series, and Ron Gardner. And I've always been a fan of Ron's art. So it opens up with they're in a mausoleum in Cypress Hills Cemetery, which is where his origin started, by the way, I believe, where his sister was killed and Danny Ketch became the ghostwriter. Ironically, he's dead, and I don't know how he died other than he made an ultimate sacrifice to keep peace, and I don't know what that means other than he prevented a bunch of hellspawn from coming into our portal. So he like sacrificed himself, and Caretaker is going off to talk to his mother, Frances. And I covered Ghost Rider minus one, I don't know, maybe about 3-4 months ago, I guess. And that issue blew me away because the mother of Ketch and the girl, you know, they were twins, was also the mother of Johnny Blaze. So I was like, wow, they're really brothers. I'm like, oh, holy crap. But anyway, he goes to his mom's house and said, hey, you know, I'm sorry you lost your son, Danny. He's dead. And then the scene cuts to a detective, and he's trying to talk to his daughter. And I guess at this time, he was dating a girl named Stacy. And she's devastated because she knows that her boyfriend's dead. And then it cuts to a character that's a lieutenant in the police force, and this character is Vengeance, and he has the Ghost Rider abilities. Like, he looks like a 90s version of Ghost Rider, if you've ever seen it. He looks very demonic. He's like five times the size of Ghost Rider, and his costume is really not proportional. Like, he has chains and he has a rib cage that pops out of his chest, and he's got boots with spikes on it, and his shoulder pads have spikes, and his skull is black instead of white, and it has spikes on the top of the head. His gloves have spikes. He's very, very 90s looking. And then he has it looks like chains, but if you look at the chains, they look like dog biscuits. The chains look like they're linked dog biscuits. But anyway, he finds out that Ketch is dead, and somebody's raiding his the mausoleum where his skull is kept, and he breaks that up. There's a demon there, and he thinks this demon is responsible for Danny's death, but it's not. It's just another demon that broke through the portal, even though he claims that he took the skull of Danny. So he ends up fighting this creature. And there's an ad for Lethal Enforcers for the Genesis. I wonder why I never bought this game. I was a big Sega Genesis fan. And Lethal Enforcers was a fun game because it had at the arcade, it had the gun, you know, where you'd shoot.
Yeah.
I like those games. I especially like the ones that have the, like, if you go to the arcade game and you could shoot. I can't remember if it was Lethal Enforcers or another game where you hit the paddle to duck. You know, like, there's like a foot paddle, and then you want to duck, and then you lift the paddle, and then you're back up shooting and stuff. I love that game. But this was a big ad for that. And he actually takes out that demon, and he turns back to a human host. And I guess this cop, when he is this, he's called Vengeance. When he is Vengeance, he doesn't care if he kills people. He says, unlike Danny, I don't care. I'll kill people. And he goes to console Stacy, who's the girlfriend of the character, and they take, with Caretaker, they take the skull of Danny, and they actually give him a proper burial. And that leads us into the next issue, which really is not – there's like no bridge between the death of Danny and this new Vengeance being Ghost Rider. So he's like now taking over the mantle of Ghost Rider. And the story just starts. This is also by Howard Mackey and Ron Garney with inks by Ivy, Chris Ivy. You've heard of that guy before, huh? Except he spells his name wrong. He's missing an E. But
yeah, that's the only shame of it.
Yeah. He does a lot of inks. I don't know if you've seen his name quite a bit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's pretty prevalent. And matter of fact, when I met you, I'm like, does he ink?
That stood out to me for some reason when I noticed it. Yeah.
Harley's outside eating snow. Like she like loves to. It's like we never give her water or anything. She just eats like snow. But this one opens up with a detective, John Logan, getting thrown out of a window and to his death. And there's a character named Dredd who's out killing people that are related to Lieutenant Michael Bandolino, who is Vengeance. And they're all investigating the murder of this corpse, and that's the linkage. They all had something going on back in the war days, and now somebody's hunting them down. And Dredd is kind of seems like it's a mercenary hired by another organization to hunt down these characters, but he doesn't know that this lieutenant is Vengeance. So it's pretty much a fight battle between Vengeance and Dredd the whole issue. And with his friends, the cops, like, there's a scene there where they're trying to set up Dredd, like, inside of the... He actually goes to his place. Okay, so he's... The lieutenant's at his place. He wants to work this... He knows what's going on. He doesn't want to involve the other cops because he knows they could die. So he's, like, at his place, and Stacy goes to talk to him, which is the girlfriend of Danny Ketch. You know, she wants to go console him and talk to him about what happened with Danny. And he's like, you shouldn't be here. He knows this guy's hunting him, right? So he's like, you shouldn't be here. And then sure enough, the lights cut out. And then all his buddies show up at his apartment and says, we're here to protect you. And he says, I don't need your help. Do you know what's going on? So the lights are all cut out. So he starts running down the staircase because in his apartment, he's there and he doesn't want to see him change to Vengeance. So he changes to Vengeance, but while he's running down the stairs to change, Dredd is in the apartment, and he massacres almost every single cop, all his buddies, just kills every single one of them. Luckily, the girl is still alive. She's one of the only ones. There's like two casualties, and one of his friends is barely alive. So he just left to go change, and Dredd killed all of them. But then he defeated Dredd, and unfortunately he didn't kill him. And this isn't Dredd like Judge Dredd. This is like Dredd, like to Dredd something. And he's working for Hellgate, and for some reason the cops show up, and he just left, assuming the cops were going to arrest him. But Dredd says, I just need time to heal, so I don't know whether if he's going to heal in prison and then go back to work for Hellgate or what. But that's how it ended. It's interesting. I really like the pacing of the story, and even though I'm just getting into the arc, I'm able to follow along, which comics today is very hard to do this with. Like, back in the day, up until like the 2000s, a lot of books gave you enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're Marvel, now they have that little summary page. You can read the summary page and you'll be up to speed. But DC is difficult, man. DC is difficult. You just jump right in. You know what I mean? And there's not a lot there. And you just have to bear with it for a few issues until you catch up. But, like, I know what's going on. I don't know how Danny died. I don't think he stays dead for a long time because issue 50's coming up. Whatever they're preparing for in issue 50 is a nice, like, die-cut, metallic-looking cover. I know it because I just bought it. That's another run that I've just completed. I've just completed Impulse. Like, I was missing, like, 4 issues of Impulse. Completed that, including the annuals. What else did I complete? Guy Gardner, except I'm missing 1 issue of Guy Gardner Warrior. I have everything after that. I should have told you. Like, next time you go to that little 50-cent bin, I should tell you the fewer obscure titles I'm missing that are not worth anything. You know what I mean? See if you find them.
Or just send me a list sometime, and I'll
You know keep one it. Book I have been absolutely dying to find, and I can't find it. The only way I can purchase it for an okay price is to buy the whole bulk, but I already have every single issue except it, is the last issue of Icon, the Milestone. I cannot find that book. And then there's one guy on Amazon that's selling it for like 50, 60 bucks, and I'm not going to spend that on that book. I just won't.
Yeah.
I could buy the whole run for almost that. So it's like, man, it's just a hard book to find.
Yeah, that's that phenomenon of a lower-selling book that the last couple issues before it gets canceled end up not a lot of copies in circulation.
Yeah. So if anybody could find me that book at something under 10 bucks, I would be most appreciative. Because I want to complete that. Because that book is the only book that's keeping me from having the whole Milestone run. And I put it on my want list, and I check Atomic Avenue, and I check eBay, and I could never find it. Never. But what else you got? That's all I have for today. I did cover one more book, but luckily, before we record, I always go check, and I was like, man, this book, I read it, and I was like, man, I could have sworn Chris talked about it. You know, I was like, man, because you talk about Legion of Superheroes quite a bit, and there's just issues that I like remember pieces of, and I'm like, man, I could swear that Chris covered this. And sure enough, I searched on Legion of Superheroes, and I'm like, that's not it. And the last search, the last one that I was looking at had it, and I was like, okay, he covered that. But it was the Cosmic Boy origin, like with Levitz and Giffen, when he was on a rampage because his family got massacred, actually burned, like radiation poisoned and stuff. And when he lost, I think, a brother. But it was a good issue. There's 2 hardcover editions from that run. There's the Great Darkness Saga, which I had read in hardcover. And then there's the Curse, which is the one that followed the Great Darkness Saga, and that was the first issue of that run. And I was like, man, I'm glad I checked. I do like that search capability because, you know, I do copy and paste all our books in there so I could double check it, you know?
Yeah, it actually works pretty good because I've started to do that sometimes to check if we've covered something or not.
Yeah, I wish Daryl would do that with Gotham by Geeks, because the way we're doing it now is a cluster, I think. Because we have 3 different spreadsheets, and then you have to go through all 3 different spreadsheets, and then sometimes they're not updated. And I'd rather just if you put it in the tags of the web WordPress, they'll show up on the search criteria. Which I like.
Yeah. Yeah, search function on Geekbrunch seems to work pretty good.
Yeah.
In my experience. Well, the last thing I have to talk about is another licensed property that I've been kind of talking about those recently. But this one is actually from DC. And it is the Mobile Armored Crap.
Something.
Strike Commandos. That's
it. It's a mask.
Mask, yeah. Number one for 75 cents from February 87.
You know, that's actually coming out now, right?
Yeah, you know, I didn't actually until I Googled mask just to sort of jog my memory of the property.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I saw that, I did remember, oh, yeah, I do. I did remember hearing news that, that IDW is going to do a new mask series. And, but yeah, this is number one, The Ice Age Cometh. It's the name of the story. It's written by Michael Fleischer. And actually, it's art by Kurt Swan and Kurt Schaffenberger. Letters by John Costanza. All these are names that I recognize. And
George Costanza from Seinfeld?
Yeah. Believe it or not, while he was underneath his desk, I think is when he's hiding underneath his desk or hiding from George Steinberger.
I can't actually find this book. Is it the abbreviation or is it spelled all the way out?
You know, the logo makes it look like it's just the word mask, but when I Googled it, and I had to put like mask 80s cartoon, yeah. So I, you know, to get the results that I wanted, it did have it as an acronym with periods between the letters, so it might be in the database that way. I don't know what the official... But, this issue was kind of boring, to be totally honest. And I think Mask itself as a property it's kind of boring. You know, it's like definitely second tier. It's definitely B tier. You know, it's kind of Mask is kind of a combination of Transformers and G.I. Joe. And it's definitely a lot of these properties, you know, were made to sell toys. But it's pretty egregious in Mask's case that was what was the case. But I mean, I will say that the creative team do as much as they can with the material that they've got. But I think on the face of it, Mask itself is a little boring, like because of the combination of things, like the characters aren't as interesting as the G.I. Joe characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then their vehicles aren't as interesting as the Transformers, you know, so you kind of got like
cross
a water
between the two.
Yeah. And it's like a watered down version of both.
You got me really curious. I want to go read my IDW number one now just to see.
Yeah. I don't know how if they do a good job of updating it and making it a little more.
I haven't read it yet. Yeah. I just want to see it. I buy it. It's one of those books that I buy. And I haven't read.
I did look at one review of number one of the IDW number one, and it was like a 2 out of 5. That was just one review, obviously. But as for the story, it involves global warming, actually, kind of. The Mask crew, they're helping out this scientist who is developing a device that will manipulate carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And Mask is going to help him build this device, but in the meantime, this scientist is abducted by Mask's evil counterpart, Venom, which their acronym is even goofier. I gotta look up what that counts stands for again, but anyways, so they abduct
I'm sorry
him.
To interrupt, but I want to make sure I get the right book. Is it the 1985 one? Because they did a follow up series, 1987.
I think it's 1987 because it says all new stories as Venom strikes again, making me think that there was one before this.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it was still Michael Fleschner, though. It's still the same team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got...
Oh, no, it's a different artist. Never mind. Mike Shen did the art on the first series. I just wanted to make sure I got the right volume. Volume 2.
Yeah, no problem. This one has the red car on the cover, and the guy's jumping out of the driver's seat towards the other one. So they basically abduct the scientist and have him make the machine for nefarious purposes. You know, they basically just start unleashing it on places that don't normally have winter weather, and like freezing up like the Golden Gate Bridge, and you know, just like it's all like extorting money. Probably like the biggest action scene is they actually freeze over the Statue of Liberty, and it starts to crack in half, and Mask have to stop the upper half of the Statue of Liberty from falling over. And the thing with Mask is each of the heroes and villains, they each have both a vehicle to their name, the Transformer aspect of it, and then they all have a mask or a helmet. And sort of what an unnecessary complication is that they have their own individual names as people, and then they have their masks all have names, but they aren't referred to by their mask's name. They're referred to as, you know, like Matt and whatever. And then they refer to their mask as a device, like, can you use, what's the one's name? Let's see here. That he uses for, he had to hold up the Statue of Liberty, Lifter. So, you know, Matt and Bruce are in that flying car, and Matt says to Bruce, "Bruce, is Lifter fully energized?" "Yes." So, you know, he's referring to Lifter, which is the mask that Bruce uses, and he puts it on, and he, you know, it's Lifter, the mask Lifter, its power is to you know, shoot this beam of anti-gravity. I just think it would have been a lot less complicated if they would just have used, like, Lifter could be Bruce's code name, and they just refer to him as Lifter and more often. I mean, Bruce could be his real name, but I think it would just been like that's just an unnecessary complication that makes things a little more confusing. And just they could have just been even more like G.I. Joe and referred to each other by their code names, you know. Because on top of it, they each have, or most of them have, their own individual unique vehicles. That the vehicles also have names, like that red flying car is called Thunderhawk. You know, some of the designs of the vehicles and the helmets, like their powers are pretty cool. So the vehicles, they make pretty cool toys, you know, and the masks, they look kind of cool with their masks on, you know. So it's not all bad. It's not terrible. It's just, by comparison, it seems like it's kind of like B tier, you know. And I guess that's why, you know, IDW is only now getting around to making a mask comic while they've been making G.I. Joe and Transformer ones for years. And, you know, some other things are kind of on their nose. Like, one of the good guys on Mask, his name is Jacques Lafleur, and he talks like, "Mon Dieu, so the snakes of venom are at it again." You know, like, everything that he says has to remind you of the fact that he's, like, French-Canadian or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the Blackhawks or Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos. They both had a French guy.
Yeah. You know, and it's like you expect it in the old days, but it's, you know, mid-80s. But that was really common, you know, even in the 80s cartoons and stuff like that. So this is not the only one.
Moon Knight is his guy.
Like, guilty of that, but yeah. There was another funny example of Jacques talking where it was just like really, really egregious, but I don't know where it was, but so it was kind of fun. Like I grabbed a lot of, like this, like with the What If issue as well. A lot of these I grab out of 50 cent bins thinking it'll be interesting to read and talk about on the show, you know?
Yeah.
And then other things I read just because I would have read them whether we had the show or not, but just to kind of, I see it's like, oh, that'd be kind of cool just to check out and see what it's all about. But yeah, Venom stands for Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem. So they're not trying to fool anybody. They're wearing it right on their sleeve right there as to what they're all about. But yeah, it was amusing. And yeah, that's all for me, really.
All right, I think that's it for me. And I can't ever see how long we've been going.
About 2 hours.
Yeah, we got about 2 hours in. So thanks for joining us. And you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com, at MythMakingETC for Chris on the Twitters, at Rob Krieger. Krieger. God damn it. Rob Krieger at on the Twitters and at Mike Myers Brunch.
That's for leaving early, Rob.
Yeah, that's for leaving early.
That's, you want your name pronounced
that's for throwing me out in the newlywed game. God dang it. If they would have said, what is the order in which he would have watched these horror movies? I would have said, well, it's either got to be alphabetically or chronologically. And then he threw me off. Just when you think you know somebody.
I can see why he changes it up, but I would have, if I had to guess, I would have answered the same way, I think.
Well, I would too. I would. That's normal to me. I just don't understand the other part. I can't grasp.
Yeah.
The logic makes sense though, because you have your best and you have your. But I don't read them in terms of best and worst either. I read what is in the mood for. You know, my best might be last or in the middle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one I'm looking more forward to is not necessarily the first book I read.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't usually happen to you.
I just like, do I feel like Deathstroke right now? Nah, I think I'll read Nightwing instead. I feel like something in the Bat family.
Yeah, but I think it works. I think it works okay for you because you have a pretty broad tastes when it comes to comics. Like, you kind of love comics in general. You know, some people, they are more selective and only read certain things.
Well, I'm fortunate enough to do that. Like, I think
that too.
I would be a different person if I was limited. Do you know what I mean? I would be totally different, I think. I'm the way I am because of what I can do.
That's what makes me. But I mean, there's also people that would maybe have the same means, but just not the same level of interest. You have the means and the interest.
Yeah, especially like that Punisher. I really want to go down, and now that I'm on this Ghost Rider, I really want to go down this Midnight Sun path now too. You know, like I want to complete it. Like, I was there from the beginning, but I didn't stick the ride, and I know it's going to be a rocky ride. But I want to take the ride, if that makes any sense.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you can read it to find what is of value in there, or form your own opinion of it, or just... Yeah. Sometimes it's interesting to read to find out what went wrong, you know? Like, why isn't this highly regarded? Is it... do I feel the same way? And if so, like, where did they go wrong? What could they have done to make it a little better, you know?
Yeah.
But,
and then the way they have been coming in, I want to replace another My Comic Shop order so bad, especially because I'm in. I like want to see where that Punisher's going now that I read that arc. You know, is it a Marvel Unlimited? Those books?
No, actually, it's one of the reasons I started picking them up in print.
Okay, I was just curious if that arc was there.
Yeah, because that's one of the holes I've come across that sort of surprised me, and I wonder if I'll see when the Punisher Netflix show comes on if they'll end up. But they have the 5-issue limited series.
Yeah.
Which was his first solo series. This is volume 1, and then there's nothing of volume 2, which ran for 100-something issues.
Do they have any other volumes? Do they only have the Garth Ennis one?
Yeah, I think. So then volume 3, which was only 95 to 96, which was the Ostrander you were talking about, they only have issue number 11. I don't know.
What the fuck? I'm sorry. I didn't. That is. Why would you do that? Then,
I don't know. A lot of times when that happens, it's because it has a significance to some. Yeah, a crossover, or it was in a collection, and so, which is usually the same thing. But after that, it's pretty much more complete. They have the 2000, which is the Garth Ennis. Issues 1 through 12, which I think is complete.
I know why. Now that you told me,
what's that?
It's a tie-in to Onslaught.
Ah, see, there you go.
Ah, and it's weird, too, because the next 5 issues are Extinction. So that's another X-Men event.
Yeah, I wonder why those aren't there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Volume 4, Volume 5, which was another Marvel Knights, that's all on there. Once you get into the 2000s, most of it's on there. Although, volume 5, I might be getting my volume numbers mixed up right now, but that one's not all. It was 2004 to 2008. There's only a couple issues of that on there. But then the 2008, 2010.
That's actually volume 7.
Yeah.
I forgot Louis LaRosa drew that. Son of a gun. If you look at that volume, it's got Louis LaRosa followed by Doug Braithwaite, and they're both Valiant guys now.
Mm.
That's interesting.
But yeah, closer you get to the present, the more complete everything everything is, because at a certain point, Marvel Unlimited actually started existing. They started putting everything new on there.
Yeah. And leave us an iTunes review. Emails on Mike and at what am I at? Mike at comicbooknoise.com, at missmakingetc@gmail.com. And I don't know what Rob is. I don't know what his
email. I don't think he usually gives an email, just Twitter.
Yeah, he doesn't watch his preferred content.
No, he doesn't. He's got it. No one really emails us anyway, so.
Yeah.
I've gotten a couple emails, but it's usually Twitter anyways that people contact on.
Yep. On Facebook, we're Geek Brunch Podcast. And I think that's it. And on that note.
All right. Say goodbye, Mabel.
That actually sounded like when she first started at the very start, it sounded like a baby crying.
Yeah, here, go out for a touchdown, Mabel. Woo! Go get it. It's a little football. It's not that. Yeah, it's almost time for baseball, Mabel. You got the wrong sport.
Spring season. Oh, baseball starts this weekend, doesn't it?
It must. Yeah, the next couple days.
I think it's this weekend. Yeah.
Might be tomorrow or tonight or tomorrow.
It could be.
It usually starts right around now. Yeah.
I think me and Barb need to go to some Rocky games this year. We've been delinquent. We went one game last year, but I had to go to a few. Pick some teams I want to see and see it. You know, focus on them.
Yeah, you gotta go get some Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, I'll never eat that again, ever. I've tried it. Never try it again.
Yeah, I think I remember you posting it on Facebook about trying them.
Yeah, never. Disgusting.
Get yourself some testicles.
if you imagine, you know, greasy food, like something fried. Like, I like fried food, but then you put the context of chewy in it, and it makes a bad combo. And then you think of what you're chewing. You're chewing a nut.
Yeah, I think if I was going to eat testicles, I'd need them to be, like, crunchy. I don't want chewy. It's just going to make me think more about the fact that I'm eating a testicle.
Eating
you know?
A ball, yeah.
Chewy's not good.
Yeah, nah. Not good. Oysters are though. Will you eat an oyster? Oh, you don't eat fish, do you? You eat fish.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Will you
eat
an oyster?
I've had oysters. I'm not like, I've had them. They've never like blown me away. I like most other seafood better.
But do you like, would you drink an oyster shooter?
It depends on the kind. I don't know. I wouldn't go seeking one out.
Yeah, I only drank one because my friend told me to drink it. And we were on a business trip, and it was awful. Oh, my God. It was the worst thing I've ever drank in my life.
Yeah, I'm not super into, like, slimy, chewy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So oysters are kind of slimy. Like, I've had them, and they can be good, like, but you kind of have to treat them a lot, you know, with, like, hot sauce or something. You know, I don't get, like, super thrilled about them. Like, some people really love them and get excited about them. You know, I'd rather have, like, other kinds of seafood.
Yep. So. You don't want balls in your mouth.
Nope. Nothing wrong with that, if that's what you're into.
Nothing wrong with that, yeah.
But,
All right. Well, on that note, we'll title this Balls on Your Mouth. And, all right, we'll talk to you later.
We're getting into DC noise territory there.
Yeah, that, I don't know if you heard that Marvel noise. Oh my God.
I started it, but I haven't heard all of it yet. I was very intrigued.
Keith slurring, man. It gets worse as the night goes on.
That's funny because he's
hammered.
The very little that I heard, I was like, it sounded to me as if he had come prepared.
He came prepared, all right.
Like, we're gonna do this
Marvel
April
noise.
Fool's.
Yeah.
But you just gotta get like, just come up with a theme, you know, so he feels like it's a special event, and he'll show up ready.
He did. He showed up with his Justice League. I love his Justice League. Like, it makes me want to watch the movie even more. It's, we got Aquaman, and we got the Cyborg, even though it should be Martian Manhunter. All right, well, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Have a good one.
Bye.